Sometimes people, they confuse what I'm doing. I write about life. I write about things that I'm actually dealing with. Something that I'm actually experiencing. This is real for me. Like, this is something that personally helps me as well. I'm not confused about who gave me the gift. God gave me the gift, and he gave me the ability to do this, and he also gave me this as an outlet. And that's what music is for me. When I feel something, whether it's anger, it's a passion about something, a frustration, like, this is where I go. That's the whole NF Real music thing, man. This is real for me. I need this. This is a therapy for me.
So I guess this is like episode 7 already. Wow. Or chapter 7, story 7, about the game of life and how to play it, how to win, right? How can you win if you don't know the rules? So today we're going to be talking about love. I mean, check it out. We've talked about Fruit Loops. I want to talk to you about Magic Spoon. It's in a phenomenal cereal. We've talked about Lucky Charms. We've talked about Abracadabra. We haven't talked about Buzz Lightyear yet. Well, we've talked about being a Fruit Loop, that's for sure. Let's talk about love. Every man on this planet. That doesn't exclude women, right? So every person on this planet is taking their initiative in love. A new commandment I give unto you, and ye love one another. Love is a cosmic phenomena and opens to the person, the fourth dimensional world, the world of love wondrous. Real love is selfless and free from fear. It pours itself out unto the object of its affection without demanding any return. Its joy is in its joy is in the joy of giving. Love is God in manifestation and the strongest magnetic force in the universe. Pure unselfish love draws to itself its own. It does not, it doesn't need to speak, seek, or demand. Scarcely, like, anyone that has the faintest conception of real love. Man is selfish, tyrannical, and fearful in his affections, thereby losing the thing that he loves. Jealousy is the worst enemy of love, for the imagination runs riot. Seeing the loved one attracted to another, and invariably, these fears objectify if they are not neutralized.
When you hear this sound, turn the page.
He sprang off the precipice, clearing his mind. But gravity's shackles too strong to deny. 3 miles below, with a thunderous thump, he splashed in the squishless mush of a swamp. An old warrior hunched over an extinguished fire. He shouted, "This cold world, this cruel world is all full of liars. I'll rattle my saber, I'll fire my gun." He had fought to his last breath, yet never had won.
Take two, like Winnie the Pooh. Because I'm a T.I. double grr. Therefore, every man on this planet is taking his initiative in love. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Love is a cosmic phenomena and opens to man the fourth dimensional world, the world of wondrous. Real love is selfless and free from fear. It pours itself out upon the object of its affections without demanding any return. Its joy is in the joy of giving. Love is God in manifestation and the strongest magnetic force in the universe. pure, unselfish love draws to itself its own and does not need to seek or demand. Scarcely anyone has the faintest conception for real love. Man is selfish, tyrannical, or fearful in his affections, thereby losing the thing he loves. Jealousy is the worst enemy of love, for the imagination runs riot, seeing the loved one attracted to another. And invariably, these fears objectify if they're not neutralized. For example, a woman came to me in deep distress. The man she loved had left her for another woman, and she had never intended to marry her. And she was torn with jealousy and resentment, and she said she hoped that he would suffer as he had made her suffer, and added, "How could he leave me when I loved him so much?" And I replied, "Damn, sounds just like me. No, you are not loving that man. You are hating him." And added, "You can never receive what you have never given. Give a perfect love, and you'll receive a perfect love. Perfect yourself on this man. Give him a perfect, unselfish love, demanding nothing in return. Do not criticize or condemn, and bless him wherever he is." She replied, "No, I won't bless him. No. Not unless I know where he is." "Well," I said, "that's not real love. When you send out real love will return to you, either from this man or his equivalent. For it, if this man is not of the divine selection, you will not want him. As you are one with God, you are one with love, which belongs to you by divine right." Well, several months had passed, and matters remained about the same, but she was working conscientiously with herself. You know, I said, "When you are no longer disturbed by his cruelty, he will cease to be cruel, as you are attracting it through your own emotions." Then I told her of a brotherhood of India, who never said good morning to each other. They used these words, "I salute the divinity in you." They saluted the divinity in every man and in the wild animals in the jungle. And they were never harmed. And they saw only God in every living thing. I said, "Salute the divinity in this man and say, I see your divine self only. I see you as God. Sees you perfect, made in his image and his likeness." She found she was becoming more poised and gradually losing her resentment. He was a captain, and she always called him the cap. Well, one day she said suddenly, "God bless the cap wherever he was." I replied, "Now that is real love." And when you have become a complete circle and are no longer disturbed by the situation, you will have his love, or attract its equivalent. I was moving at this time and did not have a telephone, so was out of touch with her for a few weeks, when one morning I received a letter saying, "We are married." At the earliest opportunity, I paid her a call, and my first words were, "What happened?" "Oh," she explained, "a miracle. One day I woke up, and all the suffering had ceased. I saw him that evening, and he asked me to marry him. We were married in about a week, and I have never seen a more devoted man." There's an old saying, "No man is your enemy, no man is your friend, and every man is your teacher." So one should become impersonal and learn what each man has to teach him, and soon he would learn his lessons and be free. The woman's lover was teaching her selfless love, which every man, sooner or later, must learn. Suffering is not necessary for man's development. It is the result of the violation of spiritual law. But few people seem able to rouse themselves from their soul sleep without it. When people are happy, they usually become selfish, and automatically, the law of karma sets in action. Man offers suffering, loss, through lack of appreciation. I knew a woman who had a very nice husband. And she said often, I don't care anything about being married, but that is nothing against my husband. It's simply not, I'm simply not interested in a married life. She had other interests. She scarcely remembered that she had a husband, and she only thought of him when she saw him. One day, her husband told her that he was in love with another woman, and he left. And she came to me in distress and resentment. I replied, it's exactly what you spoke of, you spoke the word for. You said you didn't care anything about being married, so the subconscious worked to get you unmarried. She said, oh, yes, I see. People get what they want and then feel very much hurt. But, so she soon became in perfect harmony with the situation and knew they were both much happier apart. When a woman becomes indifferent or critical and ceases to be an inspiration to her husband, he misses the stimulus of their early relationship and is restless and unhappy. The man came to me dejected, miserable, and poor. His wife was interested in the science of numbers and had him read. It seems the report was not very favorable, for he said, you know, my wife says, I'll never amount to anything because I am two. I replied, I don't care what your number is, and you're a perfect idea in divine mind, and we will demand the success and prosperity which are already planned for you by the infinite intelligence. Within a week, he had a very fine position, and 2 years later, and a year or two later, he achieved a brilliant success as a writer. No man is a success in business unless he loves his work. The picture the artist paints for love of his art is his greatest work. The potboiler is always something to live down. No man can attract money if he despises it. Many people are kept in poverty by saying, money means nothing to me, and I have a contempt for people who have it. Well, this is the reason so many artists are poor. Their contempt for money separates them from it. I remember hearing one artist say of another, he's no good as an artist. He has money in the bank. Well, this attitude of mind, of course, separates man from his supply, and he must be in harmony with the thing in order to attract it. Money is God in manifestation, as freedom from want and limitation, but it must be always kept in circulation and put to right uses. Hoarding and saving retract with grim vengeance. This does not mean that man should not have houses and lots and stocks and bonds for his barns, and you know, the righteous man shall be full, for sure. You know, it means that man just should not hoard even, you know, the principle. If an occasion arises when money is necessary, and letting it go out fearlessly and cheerfully, you know, he opens the way for more to come in. For God is man's unfailing and inexhaustible supply. I mean, it's just like that. This is the spiritual attitude towards money, and the great bank of the universe never fails. So, you know, we see an example of hoarding in the film production of Greed. The women won $5,000 in a lottery, but would not spend it. She hoarded and saved and let her husband suffer and starve, and eventually she scrubbed floors for a living. She loved the money itself and put it above everything. And one night she was murdered and the money was taken from her. And this is truly an example of where love of money is the root of all evil. Money in itself is good and beneficial, but used for destructive purposes, hoarded and saved, or considered more important than love, brings disease and disaster and the loss of money itself. Follow the path of love and all things are added, for God is love and God is supply. Follow the path of selfishness and greed, and the supply will vanish, or man is separated from it. So, for example, I knew the case of a very rich woman who hoarded her income. She rarely gave anything away, and she bought and bought and bought things for herself. Yeah, she was very fond of her necklaces. And a friend once asked her how many she possessed, and she replied, oh, 67. She bought them and put them away, carefully wrapped in tissue paper. Had she used the necklaces, it would have been quite legitimate, but she was violating the law of use. Her closet was filled with clothes she never wore and jewels she never saw, that never saw the light. The woman's arms, you know, were gradually becoming paralyzed from holding on to things, and eventually she was considered incapable of looking after her affairs, and her wealth was handed over to others to manage. So man, in ignorance of the law, brings out his own destruction. All disease, all unhappiness, it comes from the violation of the law of love. Man's boomerangs of hate, resentment, and criticism come back laden with sickness and sorrow. Love seems almost a lost art, but the man with knowledge of spiritual law knows it must be regained, for without it, he has become as surrounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Like, for example, I had a student who came to me month after month to clear her consciousness of resentment. You know, and after a while, she arrived at the point where she resented only a woman. But that one woman kept her busy. Little by little, she became poised and harmonious, you know, and one day, all resentment was wiped out. She came in radiant and explained, yeah, you can't understand how I feel. The woman said something to me, and instead of being furious, I was loving and kind, and she apologized and was perfectly lovely to me. No one can understand that marvelous lightness I feel within. Love and goodwill are invisible and invaluable in business. For example, a woman came to me complaining of her employer. She said she was cold and critical, and she knew she did not want her in the position. Well, I replied, salute the divinity in the woman and send her love. She said, well, I can't. She's a marble woman. I answered, you remember the story of the sculptor who asked for a certain piece of marble? Well, he asked why he wanted it, and he replied, because there is an angel in the marble, and out of it he produced a wonderful work of art. She said, very well, I will try it. And a week later came back and said, you know, I did what you told me to do, and now the woman is very kind, and took me out in her car. People are sometimes filled with remorse of having done something, an unkindness perhaps years ago. If the wrong cannot be righted, its effect can be neutralized by doing someone a kindness in the present. This one thing I do, forgetting all those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Sorrow, regret, and remorse, they tear down the cells in the body and poison the atmosphere in the individual. A woman said to me in deep sorrow, treat me to be happy and joyous, for my sorrows make me irritable with the members of my family that I keep making more karma. I was asked to treat the woman who was mourning for her daughter. I denied all beliefs of loss and separation and affirmed that God was the woman's joy, love, and peace. The woman gained her poise at once, but sent word by her son not to treat any longer because she was so happy. It wasn't respectable. So mortal minds loves to hang onto its griefs and regrets. You know, I knew a woman who went about bragging of her troubles. So of course she always had something to brag about. The old idea was if a woman did not worry about all of her children, she was not a good mother. Well, now we know that mother fear is responsible for many diseases and accidents that come into the lives of children. For fear of pictures vividly, the disease, you know, for fear pictures vividly the disease or situation feared, and these pictures objectify, if not neutralized. Happy is the mother who can see sincerely, who can say sincerely, that she puts her child in God's hands and knows, therefore, that he is divinely protected. For example, a woman awoke suddenly in the night, feeling her brother was in great danger. And instead of giving into the fears, she commenced making the statement of truth, saying, man is a perfect idea and divine mind and is always in the right place. Therefore, my brother is in the right place and is divinely protected. Well, the next day she found out that her brother had been in a close proximity to an explosion in a mine, but had miraculously escaped. So man is his brother's keeper in thought, and in every man should know that the thing he loves dwells in the secret place of the Most High and abides under the shadow of the Almighty. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So perfect love casteth out fear, and he that feareth is not made of love, and love, and love is the fulfilling of the law. So that's the end of that one, and I hope you enjoyed it, and Merry Christmas Eve to everybody. By the way, if you didn't know, this is episode number 60 for 2023, and it is number 68 in the last 12 months. That's a lot of podcasts, people. That's a lot of podcasts. So thank you for following. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for helping me, supporting me, and all the other wonderful things you do. Make it a blessed, blessed Christmas. And from happiness from me here to you there, to the moon and back, and all that good stuff. Namaste. Hamilton, my old-time friend, they put his face on the front of the tin. These are the dead presidents from the hood, and they represent the American dream for the average minority.
That's who's on the $10 bill, Hannibal?
Hannibal?
but Hannibal, he's international because he knows multiple languages. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think sometimes people, they confuse what I'm doing. I write about life, I write about things that I'm actually dealing with. Something that I'm actually experiencing. This is real for me. Like, this is something that personally helps me as well. I'm not confused about who gave me the gift. God gave me the gift, and he gave me the ability to do this, and he also gave me this as an outlet. And that's what music is for me. When I feel something, whether it's anger, it's a passion about something, a frustration, like, this is where I go. That's the whole NF Real Music thing, man. This is real for me. I need this. This is a therapy for me. Think about me. That doesn't worry me. I know I handle some things immaturely. I know that I need to grow in maturity. I ain't gonna walk any stages in front of these people and act like I live my life perfectly. That doesn't work for me. Christian is not the definition of a perfect me. Woo! I ain't the type to be quiet. I ain't gonna sit here in silence if I wouldn't say what I say to your face. And I promise you I wouldn't say it in private. I am not lying. People go off on my page and I'm trying to quit the replying. But this is ridiculous. I'm passionate, man. Talking on socials, but honestly, I don't see nothing in public. I kinda love it, yeah. Why don't you write us some happy raps? That would be awesome. All of your music is moody and dark, nay. Don't get me started. You wanna know what it's like if you met me in person? Listen to my verses. This music is not just for people who sit in the pews and pray at the churches. Nah, I've been rejected. I don't expect everyone to respect it. I don't expect you to get my perspective or what you expect from a therapy session. I mean, I think sometimes people, they confuse what I'm doing. I write about life, I write about things that I'm actually dealing with. something that I'm actually experiencing. This is real for me. Like, this is something that personally helps me as well. I'm not confused about who gave me the gift. God gave me the gift, and he gave me the ability to do this, and he also gave me this as an outlet. And that's what music is for me. When I feel something, whether it's anger, it's a passion about something, a frustration, like, this is where I go. That's the whole NF Real Music thing, man. This is real for me. I need this. This is a therapy for me.